On November 22nd, the 50th anniversary of the JFK assassination, a group of activists held a dramatic reading of a 90-page script called Project Unspeakable. This project is based on James Douglas's research book, JFK and the Unspeakable, Why He Died and Why It Matters. The book details all of the facts surrounding the Kennedy assassination and its cover-up. The theater production, Project Unspeakable, used the book as a base and added the assassinations of Robert F. Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and Malcolm X, and how these four events relate to today's world. Here now is an excerpt from the reading, which was performed at the Friends Meeting House in Cambridge.
Everything you're about to hear that isn't a narration is a quote made by the character speaking or relayed by someone who was there. Statements have been edited or reordered to help tell the story.
And I know from a good friend who's at a small dinner party with progressive supporters that they asked him, "Why don't you do the things you thought you stood for?" Obama turned sharply and said, "Don't you remember what happened to Martin Luther King?"
He said that?
That's a quote.
In the last 50 years, there have been two major threats to life on our planet. The first, the nuclear arms race, was narrowly averted by President John F. Kennedy and Robert Kennedy. The second, the ticking climate bomb on its short business-as-usual fuse, has no solution in sight.
Elizabeth Woodworth, professor and author.
If JFK, MLK, and RFK were assassinated while promoting peace in a military economy, how far can Obama push for renewables in the military oil economy?
So I'm pretty convinced the president is afraid of the CIA. He's got two small kids, and he doesn't want to get killed.
Oh, come on. He's a president of the United States.
The mystery of President Kennedy's assassination has not been solved in the mainstream press. You need to read Jim Douglas's book, JFK and the Unspeakable, and then you need to reflect on Obama.
Now, wait a minute. I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
Scene one.
The so-called national pride above national reason.
Wait, what's going on?
In 1947, the Central Intelligence Agency, CIA, was created. They were supposed to gather intelligence for U.S. presidents about what was happening overseas. But in 1948, the CIA's role expanded.
Propaganda, economic warfare, sabotage, anti-sabotage, demolition, subversion.
That's from the National Security Council Directive 10-2.
But what does this have to do with the president's assassination?
You'll see. The Department of Defense, our military, was ordered to support the CIA's covert operations. It was the start of the Cold War. The U.S. and USSR both fought in various places around the world, including Cuba. And they each had nuclear weapons that could destroy the other.
Okay, so it was the Cold War. We had the CIA with Dulles in charge, and I'm guessing he was still director when Kennedy became president, right?
Right. Dulles and the CIA had plans to invade Cuba and get rid of President Fidel Castro, plans that had already been approved by President Eisenhower.
But why would they do that?
Cuban President Fidel Castro had taken control of Cuban oil refineries away from U.S. companies.
Have you ever heard of the Bay of Pigs?
Sort of.
Well, the CIA and military were working with CIA-trained Cuban exiles, people who had left Cuba when Castro came to power. When Kennedy came into office, the CIA and military gave him the plan to attack Cuba. Kennedy said no, but he okayed a night. He okayed a night landing at the Bay of Pigs.
The CIA and the military told Kennedy that the Cuban exiles would go guerrilla and inspire the Cuban people to rise up and throw out Castro.
You mean Kennedy was against a plan that his own administration was carrying out?
Right. In 1953, when President Eisenhower, Allen Dulles, and his brother, Secretary of State John Foster Dulles, came into office, the country had 200 nuclear weapons. By 1961, we had 20,000.
Oh, my God.
The president's top military advisors didn't want to end the Cold War either. They wanted to win it.
You're listening to a dramatic reading of Project Unspeakable, recorded Friday, November 22nd at the Friends Meeting House. During the intermission, I spoke with John Bach, one of the readers and organizers of this event. I asked him about the intense amount of research that went into this project.
Court Dorsey did that, yes, but Jim Douglas, who did the book on JFK and the Unspeakable, Why He Was Killed, Why It Matters, is also researching the assassinations of Dr. King and Robert Kennedy and Malcolm X as well. But I can reference that in the script later on.
Longtime JFK activist Susan McLucas was in attendance at the reading.
The book, JFK and the Unspeakable, mostly concentrated on JFK and the lead-up to his assassination, all the people who were mad at him for various reasons. He got to feel like he was really putting his life in danger by the big fight he was having with his military advisors. But he decided it was more important to save the world than to save his own skin. So he bravely forged ahead, and sure enough, he did not survive. It's heartbreaking to think how different things might have been if Kennedy had lived.
In the second part of the reading, detailed examples were given about the various assassinations. Here's another excerpt.
Example number 4. President Kennedy's limousine, with its bullet and human tissue evidence, was removed from the crime scene and refitted within 2 days of the shooting. Governor Connally's clothing that should have been analyzed was dry cleaned. Researcher Vince Salandria.
This action made it impossible to determine from the examination of his clothing whether he had been hit by a pristine bullet or one that had passed through President Kennedy.
All right, what's next?
Example number 5. Remember how nearly all the doctors at the Parkland Hospital initially said that JFK's wound in the right rear of his skull meant that the fatal shot came from the front?
Yes, 21 of 22 witnesses.
And then how Dr. Crenshaw thought the shot in the neck was an entrance wound?
Yes, yes.
Just after the assassination, the Secret Service took control of the body. But Dallas coroner Earl Rose resisted them, saying that Texas law and the chain of evidence required him to perform an autopsy before the body left Parkland Hospital in Dallas. The Secret Service pushed ahead with the coffin. Rose stood aside. Alan Dulles, former head of the CIA, was appointed to the Warren Commission.
The Unspeakable.
Jim Douglas.
The Unspeakable is not far away. It is not somewhere out there. The emptiness of the void, the vacuum of responsibility and compassion is in ourselves. We U.S. citizens supported our government when it protected our Cold War security by world-destructive weapons and when it carried out the covert murders of foreign leaders with plausible deniability. By avoiding our responsibility for the escalating crimes of state done for our security, we, who failed to confront the Unspeakable, opened the door to JFK's assassination and its cover-up. The Unspeakable is not far away.
And this is President Carter.
America does not at the moment have a functioning democracy.
He really said that?
Just this year.
Why didn't I hear about it?
It was part of a German news magazine interview, and the American press ignored it.
More information about Project Unspeakable can be found at their website, projectunspeakable.com. For the WMBR Local Edition, I am Chuck Rosina.